You're listening to Diverse City Podcast. Please stay tuned to hear a powerful word. For giving or more church information, check us out at diversecity.church. Or to text to give, text DIVERSE to 73256. Thank you for listening and enjoy the word.
Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you just have your way right now. It's not about me, more than the volunteers, more than the leaders, Lord. We pray that you just have this way. So, Lord, we just surrender this service to you. Have your way in your people's life. You know the touch that they need. You know their wants, and you know their desires. With the lifting of our hands, we surrender this service to you. So as I minister this word, I pray that you get me out the way. And Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to see everybody today. Woo! Got a lot to talk about today. Everybody stand to the feet. Let's open your Bibles. Find or locate, based on if you have a Bible or you're using technology. If you would go to Judges chapter 6 real quick, in verse 11 and 12. And most of our verses will be from the NIV today. When you got it, say, I got it. All right, we'll wait a little bit longer. You got it? Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. And if you don't have your Bible, we brought it to you. Amen. All right. And it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down on the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joaz and the Abiezrites, where his son Gideon was in the threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Before you sit down, look to three people and tell them, I ain't scared. I ain't scared. Emphasize the ain't. This is the Florida country boy. I ain't scared. I ain't scared. Bishop, you scared? Stephanie, you scared? Rebecca, you scared? I ain't scared. You may be seated at this time. Next slide. All right, first edition number one. Uncomfortable. Anybody, raise your hand if you like to be uncomfortable. Okay, a few people. Uncomfortable. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to do this series called Uncomfortable, right? You guys are getting used to me. I'm getting used to you. I've been promoted from the substitute teacher to now be installed as your full-time teacher, facilitator, whatever you want to call it. Thank you, Lord. Can you put the Wednesday slide? I'm going to stop real quick. First, let me give honor to where honor is due. We have some special guests in the house. Yes. My mom, my grandmother, and my father are all here today. Thank you for coming. Really appreciate you. I am a reformed baby kid to now being a preacher. Hallelujah. And happy early Mother's Day, Mom. You know I love you. Grandma, thank you for all that you've done. And Dad, you initially started this process, so I appreciate all the things that you guys have done for me. And to our new First Lady, she is my baby mama. She is my wife of August 20th of 10 years. My partner in crime. Thank you. You did good today, too. And I like your red shoes. Yes, amen. And also a special guest to Pastor Elmer and Betty. Thank you guys for coming. Yes. Yes. And to all of our newcomers and volunteers, we're grateful that you have come. Out of all the churches you could be today, you chose here, and we're grateful to be able to have you. All right, y'all give it up for the volunteers. Uncomfortable. It's funny, me and Karen were talking. I'm like, I need a picture for uncomfortable. And we came to a discussion that a Rubik's Cube. Now, I don't know who created a Rubik's Cube. It's by far my most frustrating game ever. Shameless plug, I've never been able to put one together. One, because patience is my worst fruit of the spirit. And then number two, it's all about arrangement and alignment. But when you think about uncomfortable, it reminds me of diversity, right? Different colors, different stages, and it's God being the orchestrator of just moving around the pieces, doing what he needs to do, sending to Maryland, bringing people here, sending people over there, and it's uncomfortable being turned and spent around, and I was in this spot, and that was my seat in church, and now I gotta go over here. Uncomfortable. It reminds me of the whole Bible, right? We hear so many stories of different people, of their situation, and then God is orchestrating the plan from the beginning to the end. The next chart, though, this is where I started with the fishbowl. Now, has anyone ever did this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you use me to touch the people, to anoint me, to heal and cast out demons. But Lord, please just keep me. I don't want to take risk. I want to stay in my box. I'm cool with being a big fish in a small pond. Please don't ask me to go witness to people. But Lord, have your way. Uncomfortable. Many people in here are in the small fish bowl. And you want great and mighty works to be able to do it. But God has to get you uncomfortable. As we talked last week, we said potential is never realized in the place of comfort. God comes to shake things up. Sometimes you get it on your own and you start to move, and sometimes you got to pull the mat from under your rug. Sometimes we think a storm is because of the devil, but sometimes it's a God-sent storm to get you out of your bubble, which is the next one. And we have other people that's like this, right? I can breathe. I got my water. I'm in my environment. I'm in my element. Don't come bothering me. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do the religious things. Okay, we got a volunteer's appreciation. Yes, I'll do a drive-through experience through the taco bar and leave and go home and enjoy my Sunday. But God, what I found is that the distance between where God wants you and where you are is almost like a gulf. And then we get to a point and say, how am I going to get in this bowl? You know what? I can still breathe. I'm still going to heaven. This is it for me. But God wants to shake things up. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look through different people throughout the Bible that was enjoying their life, that were in their own comfort zone, but God came to shake it up. So when we get to Judges chapter 6, and we got three chapters to cover, so I'm going to paraphrase and walk you through it, so stay with me. And if you lose it, you know, go on Facebook Live or the podcast to catch up. Because some things you'll be like, and then it'll hit you Tuesday, and you'll be like, I got that one. So Judges chapter 6, the whole book of Judges, if you study that word in the Hebrew, it actually means deliverers. So the people of Israel are going through cycles of doing well, then giving into idolatry, then giving into their own situations, and then they cry out to the Lord. And then he sends another deliverer. And so when you come to verse 11, you have 7 years of this period of everything that's going on in their life, everything they grow, everything they harvest. The people of God are hiding in caves, and they're being oppressed by the enemy. But then you get to verse 11. As you can see, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak that belonged to Joash the Abzurite, and where the son of Gideon was in the threshing wheat and winepress to keep it from the Midians. So he's hiding, trying to get his wheat, trying to get food for his family, scared to do it in the normal, common place. Because if so, the enemy comes and taking everything in them. So the children of Israel are in a very oppressed state. Gideon is scared. Gideon is very fearful, and he's in a place of comfort. Then, in verse number 12, it says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, when I first thought, I'm like, is that an oxymoron? Someone that's scared, someone that's being oppressed, someone that doesn't have enough, and God comes and interrupts the situation. He doesn't speak to where he is, but God comes to speak to us where we're going. God is saying, you're fearful, fearfully and wonderfully made. God is saying that you're the head and not the tail. But despite your situation, the frustrations that you may have, God has a plan for you. Amen. But it may take you to be a little uncomfortable. So, of course, after getting experience and being able to hear from God, you got verse 13 that also talks about, and it says, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened?" So Gideon is complaining and saying, "How are you with me when I have more month than money? How are you with me when I've been through divorce? How are you with me when my kids are acting crazy? How are you with me when my employer is oppressing me?" He's trying to wrestle and trying to back out of the assignment. I've done this multiple times. Listen, 6 weeks ago when Pastor Ray told me about this, I said, "No, you can't go. Don't you need an executive pastor in Maryland? Don't you like how this thing is working?" And he said, "No, you need to go. Get uncomfortable. This is your time." And I tried to fight it. I called my first pastor, and I'm like, "Oh, man," his name is Pastor Trevor. I'm like, "Hey, they want me to be the senior pastor. You know all my dirt. You know I can't do this." And he said, "James, you've been trained by the best. You know better. You've seen the good. You've seen the bad. You've seen the ugly. You've seen the ugly. Go and do it." So just like Gideon, going through weeks, "Oh, Lord, what about this? What about this? What about this?" And as each of the 6 weeks went by, validation. Take that. "Nope, I don't want to hear that. Here it is. Here's my provision. Here's my provision. Here's my provision." And so when you go to verse 14, this is the part that you need to hold on to. It says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have.'" Go in the strength you have. "And save Israel out of the Midianites' hand, and I am sending you." Go in the strength you had. It's not in the pastor's strength. It's not in the praise and worship strength. It's not in your parents' strength. God wants you to go in the strength you had. So, of course, Monday this became official. I'm getting several text messages on Monday and Tuesday. Everyone's happy, excited. And they said, "Do you feel different?" I'm like, "No, I got to work 10 hours today. I just got more meetings. That's all." Monday feel the same way. Tuesday feel the same way. And then Thursday morning, I'm not working. And I'm like, something feel different today. You know, we had a leak in here, and they calling me and asking me what to do. I started to see the shift. I started to see the same. Same thing Friday. "Oh, yeah, I'm just going to press in and study the word of God and bring forth this awesome and anointed message." But my phone was ringing all day long. My parents coming, got to make sure I got to pick them up. Got this going on. Printer's broken. Somebody's tried to set a fire this morning. All of these situations. But God says, "Go in the strength that you have." What is your strength? What is your strength? We're quick to identify our weaknesses. We're quick to identify our areas of development. But God wants you to go in the strength that you have. And that means you can't pretend. God doesn't bless pretending. God wants you to be who you are. He wants to use every area, every aspect, and for you to go in the strength that you have. Ooh, getting a little feedback. So, here's the thing. You need God's help. God knows that you can't do it. God knows that you can't jump from the small fishbowl to the big fishbowl without him putting some helicopter wings and flipping you up there. Same thing with Peter, getting uncomfortable, moving from out of the boat to walking in water. But you have to go on the strength you have. How are you going to see what you're capable of if you're not willing to make an adjustment, if you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone, if you're not willing to see maybe God can bless it? I mean, think about this. Would I be here if I didn't come a year and a half before? No. Trust me, no. Even if they call, no. But it took me taking the first step. I said, God, I'll leave my familiar to see what you're able to do through me. Why not? I've tried everything. I tried to manufacture all of this in Florida. And God said, just go to St. Louis, where I only came to just be an executive pastor. I came to be a Joseph, to serve the man. And look at what God is doing. Now, that promise is not just for me. That promise is for you. That's why we work until the Lord, because you never know. Listen, my first manager position, I fought as hard as I can to get rejection 2 times, 3 times. Apply for this job, apply for that job. And look at the harvest we have here. Look at this. I didn't do this. This was me being obedient to go in my own strength. So as you continue on, before you ever get to the place when you have to go fight with the enemy, it first starts at home. In chapter 20, in verse 25, you can bring it up, Miss Karen. And it says, the same night, so what you have here is God has told him that you're a mighty man of valor. Now, God wants to see if he can trust you, because he's just not going to give it. He's going to give you a glimpse and see if you're interested in taking the first step. And then if you are, then it goes through a trusting period. So here it is. I'm going to read verse 25 and 26. And it says that the same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one of 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar. Oh, my God, my dad is here. Help me, Lord. To the Baal and to cut down the ashes and beside it. Verse 27, it says, so Gideon took the 10 of his servants, and he did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family, I'm scared of my mama. She's from Brooklyn. Hallelujah. And the townspeople, ooh, getting a little feedback, and he did it at night rather than in the daytime. So while God gave Gideon this assignment, yes, he's taking steps, but Gideon's still scared. So for you to be able to move forward, it first starts at home now, right? For me to get here, I had to take a moment to reflect back of all of the great and wonderful things I've experienced as a child. I am a miracle to be up here. From the risk taking, from the disobedience, I was spoiled. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm still a little spoiled. She said that. I don't think so. But I was spoiled. I was very ungrateful. I was rebellious. I did all of these various things. But it came to a point in my life when I had to make the shift, when I had to say, God, I'll give it to you. And a part of all of the things, I don't get in anybody's business, but don't play about my God. You bring an altar in my house, I'll burn it up, I'll rip it down, I'll do whatever I got to do, because it first starts at home. You can't touch the world until you can touch your family. You can't touch the world if you don't touch your kids first. You can't touch the world if you can't govern yourself through discipline, through obedience, through humility. Yes, God has anointed you. Yes, God has appointed you, but you gotta take care of home first. It starts at home. It starts with our men, our courageous men. Listen, it's great. Statistics say if a child gets saved, it's roughly about 17 to 30% that the rest of the family will make the conversion. For a mother to get saved, statistics are about 55%. But if the man gets saved, it's 95% everybody coming in to the house of God. Even the roaches get saved. whatever, everything in the house getting sanctified, everything in the house getting touched, because for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Anybody with me? But you got to take care of home first. So clean out your house. What are the areas, what are some of that secret things, that private, the private stuff that's not compatible with the public stuff? What are the things that you do in private that doesn't match up with public? What are the things you're posting on social media that's your Facebook highlights? However, if you went and watched the game at home, it'll be a completely different story. You see turnovers and turnovers and Steph Curry missing dunks to win the game. Yep, I said it. What are the things in private that we have to deal with to get ready? Yes, it's easy to give you a mic, but can you manage your home life? All right, I'll move off of that. Thank you, Lord. Next verse, Judges 6:34. I like this part. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew the trumpets and summoned the Abiezrites to follow him." The Spirit of the Lord. What is the Spirit of the Lord? It is the anointing. You need the anointing. That was the shift this week from the Monday to Thursday. I felt different. I had the pastoral swag walk. I'm still going to wear my jeans. You know, I'm not going to be casket ready, Anthony. He said I was casket ready on Easter with my nice white linen suit. We done with that. If nobody ain't getting married, if I ain't doing a funeral, no suits. This is what you get. You'll get a different blazer, a different shirt. But this me. He said, go in my own strength. I'm taking a pastoral salary cut. There will be no suits, no new suits. I'm going in my own strength. You need the anointing. The anointing. What is the anointing? It talks about all through Scripture, the smearing, the anointing for a specific reason, for a specific season, if you're called to the ministry. But the anointing, I don't just need it for the pulpit. I need it to be a husband. Yes. I need the anointing to be a child. I mean, to be a child to my parents. I need it to be a father. I need it on 55 with some of y'all drivers. I need it in the grocery line. Because y'all be tripping with these coupons. Let's go. You need the anointing. It's not just for me. Every volunteer, every member, every aspect, anointed. Believe in the anointing. Receive it for the works of God has for you. See, the anointing, it's not necessarily just the smearing, but it's God putting his hand on you. There's only certain things that I can do to convey, to be able to say, that others can do through prayer. But the anointing has the ability to lift the burdens and destroy the yokes. There's certain things that's going to have you yoked up. Without the anointing, you can't get free. I think it's Isaiah 10:27. I actually read it a little bit. And it shall come to pass in the day that the burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Not just removed and placed down, destroyed. That's what happens at Diverse City. We come with our different beliefs. We come with our background. We surrender to God. He put our hands on us, and he's able to destroy it. He's able to take you higher. He's able to take you to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you are called. Oh, messed that up. Exceeding, abundantly, above all that you can ever ask or think, according to his power, which is his anointing, that works through you. The anointing. So, even with all of these things, the anointing, you mighty man of valor, Gideon's still tripping. And I know some of y'all do the same thing. Like, God has told you to do something, and you've been sitting on it for years, for decades, or even for a week. So Gideon, guess what he does? He tests God. Gideon tests God. He said, I'm not sure, but let me just make sure. So in verse 36, it says, and Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hands, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. And if there is dew only in the fleece and all of the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. Now, after all of that's been done, God still shows his patience. God is still showing his mercy. God is still showing his grace. So God, he's able to do that test, and guess what? God does it. He puts the fleece, he takes it on the ground, and then there's water all over, and he's able to pick it up and see that it's dry. Then he does it again because Gideon probably thinks that, the way I see it is that maybe in Israel they have like St. Louis weather, right? You come to church, you need a jacket, you leave church, you don't need a jacket. Surely water can come, touch this one place, and does another. So Gideon tests God again. He said, okay, let's do it the opposite way. Let's make the fleece with water, and let's make the ground dry. And if he's able to do that, then I'm sure that God has sent me to do this. And so even after all of these signs, God continues to remain faithful. God continues to say, I want you to do this. I want you to fulfill your role. And see, what happened is, I heard somebody say this, or I think I heard someone say this, oh God, if you can make the St. Louis Blues win a championship, I'll do it. Do y'all know, interesting fact, I did some research yesterday. It says the St. Louis Blues was founded in 1967. It was one of the expansion teams where we went from 6 to 12 teams in the NHL. The Blues are the oldest active team who has never won a championship. Stretch your hands for the Blues. Which way is it? Over here? Over there? Send the anointing! After 3 times of making it to the championship, they fell short. Now, here's the thing. While there's a lot of principles and concepts that we can leverage from the life of Gideon, one that we can't do is ask God for a sign. Because the difference between us and Gideon is that Gideon doesn't have the Bible. Gideon doesn't see the whole promises of God, the whole meta-narrative of what Christ has come to do and born for your life. So if you come, you're trying to say, Lord, we need to wait on the Blues, you need to open up the Bible and read and study, or go to Google, study, see what you need, get your principles and apply it, and then move forward. Number 2, the reason why you cannot ask for a sign is in John 16:13. We have the Holy Spirit. It was strategic to sing that song. Yes, I requested it. He's welcome here, not just in this place, but in this place. Why? Because when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Yes. Where? Into all truth. Where do you need to go? What are the things you need to do? He will give you direction. Yes, you can have mentors. Yes, it's important to have counsel and direction, but the Holy Spirit is able to confirm them. For some of us, we got to sit down, cut off social medias, cut off other networks, and be able to hear what God is telling us to do. And it says, and he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. No signs for us. Judges chapter 7. And if my men can just get ready, I'll call you when it's time. Judges chapter 7, verse 2, it says, now it's time to get ready. Gideon, while in fear, is able to move forward. But now it's time to go take down the enemy. Now it's time to go touch the city. Now it's time to impact St. Louis. And it says, the Lord said unto Gideon, you have too many men. So Gideon gets the Spirit of the Lord upon him, and he got 32,000 ride or die soldiers that's ready to go. And said, these Midianites, we're tired of living in caves. We're tired of living broke, busted, and disgusted. Let's do this. Let's fight. But then God says, you have too many. Why? Because then y'all will take all the glory. It's not about you. It's about him. And he says, I cannot deliver the Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. He said, I've seen your cycles. You with me, things are good, you get comfortable, then guess what? You back over here doing all kind of crazy stuff. This time, y'all gonna see what I can do through you. Amen. And it says, so now the tables have been turned. At one point, it was Gideon testing God, but now God is testing Gideon. Where are my soldiers at? Attention, get up here. Where are my soldiers at? Now, make your way up here. Fellas, let me move this out of the way. Where are my soldiers at? Y'all ready? So imagine all of my courageous men. Let me come over here real quick. I want the focus to be on y'all. Y'all looking good. Y'all give it up for the men of Diverse City. Yeah, woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo, woo. Now, everybody knows I have a very creative mind, right? Y'all may need to get a little bit of space, just saying. So if God is going to say you have too many men and it's up to me to select, I'm going to look for the external and the physical attributes. Y'all ready? Everybody? You know, get a little stretch. Okay, so can we get about 10 jumping jacks? All right, let's see who don't make the cut real quick. Ready, set, go. One. I told you get some. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Okay, 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 okay. Give me 10 push-ups. Let's go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Woo! Come on. Y'all can stand up. Oh, y'all. Come on. Come on. Can we have a little fun in church? Can we still be a little spiritual? Y'all hear right? But God thinks differently than me, unfortunately. He's not looking for the physical attributes. God is looking at the heart. So I had a question for you, the men. If you're scared, go back to your seat. Supposed to be one more scared person because I only got four buckets, but all right, we'll make it work. Y'all can share. If you're scared. Now, so that was the first test. You went from 32,000 now down to 22,000. But God says, we still got too many. We got to do one more test because we got some fakers up there. So God says, take them to the brook. Come to the brook. Find your brook basket. Thank you. And he says, get some water. Everybody, get something to drink. Y'all watching. Let me see. Y'all come over here real quick. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. And God says, Anthony, go sit down, brother. So, now, can I go deeper with this? I'll get back serious real quick. Can I go deeper with this real quick? So, one, are you scared? Now, there are some people that are critical thinkers and said, how dare Gideon send people home because they're scared, and Gideon's scared. But there's a difference. Gideon was scared and kept moving forward. The rest went to their seat. Listen, when God tells you to do something, if it came from him, someone's other opinion that says you're scared, go sit down, you're gonna keep moving forward. I said, I know what he told me. He put the spirit on me. He's given me this wisdom. He gives me this guidance, and he's given me the direction. Then number two, you've seen Anthony, right? There's a distinct difference between these four soldiers and Anthony. One is that Anthony does not know how to control his appetite. Uh-oh. I said, get something to drink. He went head first. You're on an assignment. You're working for the Lord. But these were the difference. They got something to drink, and they kept looking for it. We got an enemy to take care of. We got some work to do for the Lord. God has to make sure that you're focused, and when you get some appetite and you get thirsty, or somebody sends you a thirst trap, you don't go head first. You said, I will not be moved. I'm focused on what God has called me to do. You can go back to your seats. Thank you, guys. So, here's the thing. You go from 32,000, now down to 22. Then God saying, you got 300. And guess what? The Midianites are 135,000. The odds are not in their favor. However, man plus God is the majority. Yes. You can go to the next one, I think. There we go. Does that make sense to y'all? God greater than the majority, XXX? Yes, you got it. You're worth waiting on. Listen, we live in a culture today that's impressed by numbers. How many likes? How many contacts? How many followers do you have? How many supporters do you have? I work with numbers. Numbers matter to me. Numbers work in my business, but not to God. Yes, we measure success by numbers. God measures success by faith. God wants to see your heart. God wants to know if he's with you, if you're with him. God wants to know if you're standing by your side. Because if God is before you, who can be against you? If God is before you, who can be against you? So with this change, I want to make sure, and you can go to the DCC Strong, that with this shift, with this transition, as we're all kind of coming into alignment, that first of all, it's not just Pastor Ray and now going to Pastor James, but God has given us amazing, our 300 soldiers, to be able to serve and to be able to meet the body of Christ. You can bring that paper. You can stay up here with me too. So, before we do, can I keep going? Yes. So what God told me to do is to highlight the 300. In this week of Volunteers Appreciation, there are so many people that serve 2 to 2 hours a week, some serving 5 hours a week. People like Papa John that does 25 hours a week of volunteer and appreciation. So with this season, I want everyone to understand that it's not about me, it's not about Aldine, but it's about the mission and the vision of Diverse City. We have a great work to do, and even better than that, God has given us a dream team to be able to serve and meet the needs of this church and in the community. So I want to call up all of our leaders. You can wait till I call your name. And I want you to take note, and it will be on the website soon, is that we're not going to shift with this season and say, everybody just run to Pastor James. We have great anointed leaders that are here that are ready to be able to serve you. So first, in the children's ministry, I would like to bring up Jason Clark. Come on. Thank you, bro. Thank you, man. Jason normally serves 3 to 4 weeks taking care of your babies. In the 6 to 12, creating, spending his time, going to Hot Box and getting some cookies. Hallelujah. Sometimes he'll save me one. Sometimes he eats them all, but we're cool. And also in the children's ministry, I would like to bring up our children's director, Aaron. And come on. I want y'all to see the diversity. I want y'all to see how great and powerful this team is. And Aaron also leads the dance ministry too. Holla at your girl. And next, and I would like to bring up the Minister of Finance. Is she here? Is she counting? Crystal, get up here, girl. Crystal does a great work here. She spends 10 to 15 hours a week counting money, asking me for receipts, paying the bills to make sure the light stays on, and taking care of all of the things in that magical office in the upper room. Next, I would like to bring our powerhouse, Miss Sharon, that we kicked off there. Y'all like that corporate prayer today? Come on, get up here, girl. Thank you. And Becky for life groups. Go ahead and make your way up here. Stay up here. And I'll stay down. Can I get Miss Jasmine that leads the youth group? And Miss LaWanda that takes care of our women and much more. Where's your other half? Where you at, Bishop? Bishop, the courageous leader of the men's ministry. Woo, woo. And can I also get Dewan that also helps in the men's ministry? Woo, we're doing good on time. Hallelujah. Thank you, bro. Nets, who am I forgetting? And also Miss Patty that does our special events. Bring that AJ up here too. Come on. Oh, all right. Dana, where's our intern? Diverse City has an intern. Make your way up here, Miss Dana. Where'd she go? She in the back. All right, so y'all will see here in a minute. And for others too. And our band director and praise and worship leader, Miss Stephanie and Angie. Come on and make your way up here. Dynamic duo. Just a side note, it's like, hey, we got all these changes. I sent them, I was preparing for the message and had my own little playlist, and I start sending like 30, 35 songs and be like, think about this one, think about that one. You don't have to use it, but just strongly consider it. And they made it work. They're awesome. Thank you. Not only just for being a part of the praise and worship, but the two of you make other sacrifices in the other areas, so really appreciate that. All right, and then the facilities, transportation, ushers, whatever you need it. Papa John! Yeah! Love you, bro.
I love you, bro.
And I don't think Miss Rue is in here, but she's over the kitchen's angel. She's actually getting our food ready. So y'all make sure to show her some love when y'all go get your grub on. Marriage Ministry, Teresa and Randon, make your way to the stage. Yep, you took a baby and now you gotta give them up already. Thank you guys. I do group hug. All right, thank you. All right, y'all all right? Okay, so family care leader and also praise and worship soprano, Leah, come on up here, bring that baby. Thank you. And our newest Connect Track leader as of this month, Karen Folks. Yep, she's next door helping Miss Rue. Karen's awesome. I'll make sure y'all get to meet her. And Elmer, our drummer and safety team leader. Wait. Can we say happy birthday for him today? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Cha, cha, cha. Birthday to you. Hey.
Happy birthday, dear Elmer.
Yeah! Thank you. All right, I got like two or three more. Hold up, wait. I have to announce our wonderful welcome and hospitality leaders, Miss Susan and Shantae. Make your way to the stage.
The who? The song group.
Yes. I don't know if they want to be recognized. Come on up. Make your way up. Oops, sorry. All right. And then also, last but not least, I don't see him. He's maybe with the kids. But I would like to recognize Sean Thacker. He is our admin lead. There you go. Come on, man. Come on. All right, so part of several of these changes. Do I have anyone separated the two? Oh, Michelle, right? Yes. And also would like to recognize a few more of our silent partners, our deacons. If you are not up here yet, go on ahead and make your way to the stage. Yes. Oh, Mr. Kim is one of our deacons. Miss Michelle is awesome. Tony does a lot of great things too. Brother Drew is also a deacon, and Randon as well. So just to let everyone know, we don't just make calls around here. Everything is approved and done in decency and in order. And also, shout out to Karen in the sound booth. I know you got a baby. Yes. Thank you for all that you've done. Karen's been hitting the ground running, getting a lot of assignments, and I really appreciate that. All right. So a part of that, I know Michelle came up for our deacons and board members, but Michelle is our care manager. Let me just explain what that is. We want to make sure the front door is huge and the back door is real small, so you can't leave once you start joining. And care ministry stands for connecting and reaching everyone. So Michelle is the manager / director over this apartment where they have the life groups, and make sure as you become members and you're assimilating into ministries that we're making touches for you, that we can do hospital visits, that we're able to come and be a blessing to you. So make sure if you're not getting an active touch, you can contact Michelle and then also Miss Leah as well. And then last but not least, who's doing all my old stuff? Some of them will be my baby mama. Hallelujah. But I would like to announce our two new associate pastors, Virginia and Drew Wilson! Yes! Hey! Look at what you see. Look at this awesome leadership team. Look at all these great people. Different incomes, different backgrounds, different years of service. But all of these people do all the behind-the-scenes works that we're able to celebrate God in our diversity. There are several people that aren't up here, and I'm hoping that you're willing to get uncomfortable, because we got more leadership roles that we need to fill. Graphics, website, outreach. And I'm pretty sure most of the leaders will be willing to become co-leaders to shoulder the responsibilities. But we can do this, but we have to be able to do it together. This is not a one-man show, and God is calling you a mighty and great warrior. So we do this together, we do this as a team, and I thought on this volunteer appreciation weekend that we took a moment to celebrate the gifts that God has given us. Give it up for them. All right. Okay. Y'all stay for 2 minutes real quick. And everyone knows I love quotes. We go to the next one. And it says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. We're doing this all together. This whole transition of uncomfortability for each and every one of us, I'm leaning on them, they're leaning on me, and we invite you to lean on us as we're able to move forward into our new season. Amen? Amen. As Pastor Ray talked, for the last 9 years, his goal and his focus was to be able to lay the foundation. And now the torch has been passed, and we go into the promised land. Amen? Yeah. God is not done with you yet. The best is yet to come. And guess what? Your haters are scared. Listen, I'm going to read two scriptures, and then we're going to do an altar call to get spiritual, and then we're going to eat. Hallelujah. All right, so Ecclesiastes 4:9, because some of y'all said my quote was unbiblical, so let me help you out. It says, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity on anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. That's why we do what we do. We do this together. None of us are perfect. As you all know, we are the perfect church for imperfect people. We love your imperfectness. That's what God is for, to be able to cover that up. Yes, come as you are, but you won't stay as you are, because God's power is here, God's spirit is here, and we believe that the best is yet to come for your life. So in closing, let's go to this. Judges chapter 7 and verse 13. Y'all all right? Everybody up here good? Do I need to hold a baby? Y'all good? I'll take one. You know I would. Get my fever, because we done. Hallelujah. Hopefully. Can I get my rag? Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. Judges 7:13, and it says, so out of all of that, God has cut down to the 300 list, and now it's time to go and take back what's owned. And it says right here, God is going to use the enemy to encourage you. God is going to use the enemy to encourage me. We had somebody, I don't know if y'all heard, come into the church and try to light the bathroom on fire this morning. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So I know God is up to something. If y'all go upstairs, no one didn't blow it up. That's a special smell up there. Someone tried to put a fire in a trash can before service. God is up to something. We're going to do this. We're going to take the city. We're going to do all that God has called us to be. In 9 years, nothing has ever happened. 2 weeks ago, someone's outside and preaching and saying there's heresy going on. This week, someone comes and tried to light a fire in the bathroom. Then someone else was walking around, but he can't touch us. You can only come so close. You can only come close, and then you got to back on up. Talk to the hand. That Jamie Foxx anointing. Mom, you know we used to watch Jamie Foxx, that good stuff, right? Amen. So here we go. Gideon arrived. So as God used the enemy, he says, go to the enemy's camp. I want you to just go and listen. So check this out. Oh, no, you can go back to 13 real quick. I didn't read it. So it says, Gideon arrived just as man was telling a friend his dream. And he says, I had a dream. He was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianites' camp. It stuck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. So the man has this dream, and then his sidekick was like, that's not about bread. That's the children of Israel coming and knocking us all out. So Gideon is able to hear this, Gideon able to get encouraged, and then God allows him to listen that your enemy is scared of you. Your enemy is worried if you move out of your comfort place and to be all that God has called you to be. Your enemy is scared that if you move forward, they can't do nothing. In closing, Judges chapter 7 and verse 22, it says, when the 300 trumpets sound, the Lord calls the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with swords. You think you may have to fight this battle, but I come to tell you, God got it. You may think that mountain, that issues, those frustrations that are going on, and I'm telling you, he wants to see your faith. He wants to get your heart right. He wants you to clean your house. And as you move forward, I'm telling you, God's got it. He'll have your enemies fighting each other. They came to come against you. He tried to roar like a lion, but God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. In closing, there are people in here that are in multiple different stages. Number one, you've been fearful. You've had multiple challenges of situations, and you need a savior. You need to understand and receive the Holy Spirit in your life. For those people, in a few moments, I will ask you to come up and we'll do, I'm calling the audible, our leaders, to be able to pray. Number two, there are other people in here that's like, I don't know about this transition, what's going on? And I'm challenging you today to say for the next 5 weeks, let's see what's going on. Let's hear what's going on through this uncomfortable season. Maybe it's not just a change, but God is repositioning you to be able to go forward. Yes, thank you. And then number three, some of us can admit we're okay with change, but we don't like the transition. For those, I would like you also to come down. And then last but not least, if you've just been comfortable and you're ready to move forward and say, I can do my part. I ain't got much, but I'll do it in my own strength. If one of those four things apply to you, I'll ask for you to meet us at the altar. We'll have one of our leaders, directors, managers, and pastors pray with you today. Please come, receive the call, and we will do this together. Whenever they come, feel free to go down and meet people. Thank you, Lord. Stephanie, sing whatever you want. We're going to pray as a leadership team. Here, you need to go on and stretch. Let me hold them. Amen. Come on. We can do this together, but you can't be scared. We can do this together, but we can go further with you. We can do this together 1 week at a time. We can do this together 1 week at a time. So Lord, we come before you today saying that we're scared. We come before you today knowing that it's not easy. We come before you today saying we surrender to you. Lord, we come before you today saying have your way. So Lord, I pray that you meet the needs of your people that are in the altar today for salvation, for new commitments, for new beliefs, to be all that you have called them to be. Lord, we thank you that the best is yet to come in your people's life. Lord, we thank you that promotion doesn't come from the south, from the east, from the west, but it comes from you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you through our obedience, and we thank you through our sacrifice that we shall do great and mighty works. It's not in numbers, but it's through faith. So, Lord, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stay. Once you're prayed for, please make your way back to your seats. And leaders, we ask for you to touch and pray for every person that's in the altar there.